As my good friend, Brother Dale Aiken would say, open your Bibles and turn them to anywhere, because it's all good. But on your way to anywhere, stop by in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read four verses here. This is a message that I was given in college, a thought that came to me through my devotions, and something that really helped me, and it still helps me today, something that I'm still trying to work on. But Exodus chapter 3. And we've already stood for the reading of God's word, so I'm just going to go ahead and begin. The Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Now, notice the sequence of events here. This is the crux of the message. Verse 3. "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." The title of the message tonight is The Turn. So notice in verse number 3, the Bible says, Moses said, I will now turn aside. And notice what happens after he turns aside in verse number 4. It says, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Before God could call Moses to what he wanted Moses to do, Moses had to turn and face the Lord. Moses had to turn from where he was and turn to where God wanted him to be. Before God can call us and use us in our lives, we have to turn towards him. Then and only then will God use us in the way that God wants us to be used. I'm not a parent, obviously, but I can think of my parents, especially my mom, when we were little, when she would try to tell us to do something. We had a hard time paying attention. I say we, mostly me, had a hard time paying attention. She wanted us to look her in the eye. My dad did the same thing. He wanted us to look him in the eye, pay attention, look at me, face me. I can still feel my mom's hands grabbing my cheeks and pulling my face toward her. Look at me. And so, good memories. But she wanted me to look at her. Why was that important? Why was it important to turn my face toward her? Because that meant my full attention, everything that I had was toward her, towards my dad, toward whoever that was. Because they wanted me to be fully focused and fully ready to do and listen to what they had to say. And God wants us to do the same to him. God wants us to turn ourselves completely to him. And that means getting rid of everything in our lives that could be a stumbling block. Anything, any sin in our life, anything that needs to go, anything that's taking the place of God in our life needs to be put aside, and we need to turn ourselves completely to him. So I like to keep my messages short in 3 points. I learned that from Brother Haynes, and it seems to do okay for him, so that's kind of what I've adopted. But anyways, so we have 3 P's tonight. We're going to look at Paul first. So look at Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. The Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," talking about Christians, "whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven, a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." God, in this instance, had to actually physically take Paul and get him to look at him. He had to actually stop what he had to Paul to stop what he was doing and face God and look at him, and so that God could tell him what he wanted to do. Paul had to turn himself to God. Saul went on his own accord. If you look in verse number 2, he desired of him. He didn't desire of God. Obviously, Saul didn't give himself to God, yet he was still Saul. Paul just helped with the alliteration of the message. It's very important. Well, to me anyways. Paul gave himself completely over to God after the fact that he turned and recognized that Jesus was Lord, and that he was his Savior. And we need to do the same thing. Next, we'll move on. Flip a couple pages back to John chapter 21. It's not very far. At least it wasn't far earlier. John chapter 21. The next P is Peter. We'll look at Peter. John 21:15-19 is where we find a story. Pastor Lassiter calls the Seaside Seminar. And so the Bible says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." And Jesus repeats it in verse 16, just worded differently, and also in verse 17. And look at the middle of verse 17 there. It says, "Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." Paul in his youth, or Peter in his youth, and Peter in his childhood and in his own strength was trying to do things that he wanted to do his way. He wasn't trying to do things the way God and Jesus wanted him to do. And that's what Jesus was trying to get him to see, that you got to follow me, you got to turn to me, you got to give me all of you, Peter. And in Acts chapter 2, we see what happened when Peter finally did give all of himself to God. Many, many souls were saved. Thousands of people were saved. And so Peter turned himself completely over to God, and many were saved. The third P is personally. Look at ourselves personally. We have to turn ourselves completely to God. I already alluded to that a little bit. But God is still calling people. God is still wanting people to serve Him. God is still wanting to do great things with our lives. But we have to look at ourselves, get rid of the sin in our lives, the things in our lives that are keeping us from turning ourselves completely and wholly to God and finding what He wants. Look at Ezekiel 18. Chapter 30. This kind of came to me while my dad was preaching. I was paying close attention. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30. The Bible says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God." Look at this now. "Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart, new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye." This is Ezekiel prophesying for God here, and he's asking the children of Israel to turn themselves toward God and put away their transgression, because God wanted to do something great with their lives. God wanted to do something great with all of them. They were his chosen people. They were the people that he had picked out of all the nations in the world. And God wanted them to turn themselves to him and remove their transgressions. We have to, as it says in Colossians 3, set our affection on things above and not on things on earth. We have to die to our flesh, die to ourself every day, and turn ourselves to God. We need to get right with God. I've struggled with this a lot recently. I've got to turn away from the things that I struggle with, turn away from the sin that is in my life, not let it just be okay, but understand that it's a problem and it has to go, and turn myself completely in holy God, no matter how small it may be. So the question is, what are you holding on today? What's keeping you from turning yourself to God? What in your life is distracting you from giving all of you to God? I can think of today, we were coming back from working for Brother Freeze, packing chicken. It was really cold. It was 40 degrees in that room. And we're coming back, and I've got an earbud in, like my mom told me not to do while I was driving, but don't tell her. Anyways, I've got an earbud in, but I was listening to directions, but I missed my turn. Do you know why I missed my turn? Because I got distracted. I got distracted. Arch Manning had scored a touchdown. And I got distracted. I was excited, but I missed my turn. Why did I miss my turn? Why did I miss, proverbially, what God wanted me to do? The turn that God wanted me to make, because I was distracted. I let something of this world get in the way. I let something in my ear that I didn't need there. I didn't have godly... I'm just trying to make an illustration here. We don't listen to godly counsel like we should. We let other things in our ear that shouldn't be there. Other things tell us things that they shouldn't be there. And it distracts us from what God wants us to do. We've got to put away the things that we know that are wrong, and put away our transgressions. And the final question in conclusion is, will you make the turn that you need to make today?